Clinic, medicine for your life. Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Yankees, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It's the first Wednesday of the month. Has been for a long time. Our great pleasure. Closest we have to a tradition on this program to talk about food and cooking, and with generally the same guest. His name is Doyle Moore. He's the man we like to call our chef in residence. Let me point out, ladies and gentlemen, this title is purely honorary. It won't get you a discount down at the grocery store, but we're always happy to see him, and we have a good time picking some topic and talking about that. And we have talked about different kind of cooking techniques and different dishes and cooking from different parts of this country and around the world. Always feature some item, although, of course, there's no rules. People call in and tell us all kinds of things. Feature that item and talk a little bit about it and sometimes exchange recipes. And if we're lucky, it's one of those things where we say, here it is, dish X, you know, and it's something that there are a lot of different ways of doing it. So then people can call in and say, well, I did it this way, or often it's my mother or my grandmother, yes. You know, somebody in my family, we did it this way, and this is how I grew up. And then somebody else will call up and say, well, no, that's not the way. We did it this way. And so you collect a lot of interesting variants. So this time around, Doyle said he would like to talk about quick breads. And I thought, well, now there's a pretty good thing to talk about, because it's one of those things that there are a gazillion different kinds of quick breads, a lot of different ways to do it. And even people who don't want to be bothered with rising stuff, with doing yeast breads, because that's a lot more time consuming. Quick bread, and anybody can do it. You don't have to be some kind of highly skilled cook to do a quick bread. I mean, anybody can do it. So that's what we're going to do here. We'll talk a little bit about quick breads. 333-9455, the Champaign-Urbana number. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And if you have a recipe, you can give us a call. Good to have you here.
Yes, thank you very much.
So is there something in particular that just got you?
Well,
think about this.
Sister.
Uh-huh.
The wheat queen. I rely on her a lot. Yes, she's a part of the Kansas Wheat Association, and she goes and lectures and gives demonstrations. She's at the state fairs and all of that sort of thing. And she was a proponent, I guess that's the right word, of the white whole wheat for a long time, but she couldn't get our farm to produce white whole wheat. Well, they just decided they didn't want to. But now it is becoming more and more significant, and I'm finding a lot of people. I know a lot of people who are cooking with white whole wheat, and so I have some recipes from her that that feature the white whole wheat in the quick bread. Now, we've talked about quick bread before, but we sort of approached it from the point of cornbreads and certain kinds of loaves. And what I have this time from her, and I'm very excited about it, is a sort of a basic recipe, and then you do everything up to this point, and then you do this different, and then that different, and that different, and you end up with all the different tastes and such.
Mm, so you can have it not only in different shapes, but with different content.
And then the idea that the recipe will make either a large 9 by 5 loaf, or it will make 3 mini loaves, or it will make 12 cupcakes, and 3 bundt pan, little baby bundt pans, which she's sending me the bundt pans this next week. I just talked to her day before yesterday. Said I was going to do this.
Okay.
So all of that, I mean, for me, it was sort of a whole new approach to this, and I rather liked it and thought maybe people would like to hear about it.
And you did say, now, when we were talking before, did you also say that then you can cut the recipe down further? So instead of making a dozen muffins, you can make You could just make, if you only just wanted to make 6, you could do that.
I cut the recipe in half for myself.
See, that's really nice too, because you don't always, you know, especially if you're a single person, you maybe not want to have a dozen muffins. I suppose you could take them and, you know, pass them out to your friends or take them to work.
We have done that, haven't we? Well, exactly, but was something that I was a little hesitant, except it seemed to be so clear. You can't always just take a recipe and cut it in half. You can't do that. If you do, you end up with a little less of this or a little less of that or something, and it doesn't chemically go together the way it does when you have all of it and in the right order and all. Well, this recipe doesn't seem to suffer one bit from being cut in half.
Very good. And so, hit your papers and pencils handy.
Yeah.
We will give the recipe, and then of course we can have it typed up.
Oh, we'll have it typed out, and it'll be able to send out. Yeah.
Okay.
We've got some people to talk to.
Yeah, let's do that. We will start with someone in Arcola, line number one.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
I have a new pan, spoon bread pan.
Oh boy.
And I had experienced a recipe that it was at. I think Boone Lodge Inn in Kentucky, and it was very light and fluffy, and I wondered if you had something like that.
No. Do you have the recipe?
No. I think it was secret.
I happen to have a magic book here, but I don't know. I was looking forward to your recipe for spoon bread. Oh, yes. Ha, ha, ha. I do. I'm going to look it up in this little book I've got here, because spoon bread is really kind of a neat thing. It's a cornbread that is very light and fluffy. Soufflé spoon bread. Yes. Okay, I'll just tell it to you right now.
Okay.
2 cups of water, 1 cup of yellow stone ground cornmeal, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1 teaspoon of salt, 4 eggs separated, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, and 2 tablespoons of sugar. So it's going to be, let's see whether we beat the eggs separately. Yes, beat egg. So, okay. So the reason you separate the eggs is that there's going to be egg whites. Okay. Bring the butter to bring the water to a boil and whisk in the cornmeal. So you're going to cook the cornmeal a little bit. Add the butter and salt and cook for 5 minutes until it's thick. And so the cornmeal has absorbed all of the liquid that it can and is swelled up. Then stir that until it's smooth. You don't want any lumps in it. Remove from the heat and let it cool. Stir the egg yolks and the milk together and add that to the cornmeal. Then you do the dry things. Mix the flour, baking powder, and sugar and beat that into the cornmeal mixture.
How
and then,
much flour? I
The flour was 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour.
Okay. Thank you.
And then beat the egg whites until they're stiff. And then fold them into the cornmeal mixture. You know, the way you do that is you take a third of the egg whites and then you sort of stir it up in that heavy slurry of the cornmeal. And then you pile the rest of the egg whites on it and then you carefully fold it. So you sort of do it in 2 stages.
Okay.
And then don't beat it. Fold it. So that there could even be some lumps of white egg whites in it that aren't mixed up. That's all right. And then pour into the prepared dish and bake for 30 to 35 minutes in a 400-degree oven. And they say a 2-quart souffle dish would take care of that. So a big round 2-quart dish. And then serve immediately. And what you have is a very soft cornbread, which is, you're right, it's creamy and such, and then you have to spoon it out. You can't cut it into chunks. That's why it's called spoon bread.
Spoon bread. Thank you.
There you are. It's very Southern.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. And this time around, we thought we would talk a little bit about quick breads. And I think myself, maybe one of my favorite quick breads would be cornbread. So we're tying it into.
Oh yes.
And this is kind of spoon bread. It's not something that I have ever had, but it is sort of like it's like a cornbread souffle.
It's a cornbread souffle.
Essentially,
that's
what it
exactly
is.
What it is. That's exactly what it is. And so then that softness and lightness and fluffiness is very pleasant, and it doesn't want to be solid. It wants to be that fluffiness. And so when you spoon it out, you've got – it's very much like grits souffle, which you probably haven't had either.
No.
Well, that's another favorite. That's another favorite of mine is grits souffle.
Okay. Let's talk with somebody else. And this person is in Indiana, line number 4. Hello.
Hello. I listen to the program all the time and use some of your recipes, and this – statement I'm making is sort of arcane, but it might be something you could tell to that lady that's the wheat queen or whatever.
Yes.
we just recently had the white wheat show up in my area.
Oh, yes.
And it was, of course, in competition with other whole grain and cereal breads and stuff, and they made it quite cheap. But it lasted they had it on sale for about 10 days, then they removed it from the market here, at least. It didn't go at all.
Oh, my.
And
well,
I know the reason it didn't go for me. I'm just discovered I was diabetic.
Uh-huh.
And so I have to be concerned about the relationship between the number of carbs in a slice of bread and the fiber.
Yes.
And the white wheat bread practically has no fiber at all, so it's not good for me because
right.
the carbs get released immediately
right.
instead of being bound up. So I would have been a purchaser of it because I don't really particularly like the texture and taste of the whole grains that I basically have to eat to control that. But unfortunately, it just didn't work into my regimen for my meals throughout the day, so I didn't buy it at all. And I don't know if those kind of marketer types think about those things, but it may well be that could be part of a small percentage of why at least it didn't make it in my market at all.
Well, I'll talk about two different things. Number one is that I'm pretty much in the same position as you are with diabetes, and I'm relying on the white whole wheat. The red whole wheat is a little bit different, and of course it does become a whole grain, and we do have to watch the fact that we should be eating more whole grains because they don't convert as fast. And I just fell in love with the white whole wheat, and I use it as often as I can in as many things as I can, and sort of enjoy doing that. I found it a better tasting than the regular red whole wheat because it's a little bit lighter and it doesn't cook up as heavy and as clunky and solid as the red whole wheat. That's why I have jumped to the whole wheat.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Now this is way off, but it's something that's important to me in terms of the diabetic thing and the food
yes.
we intake. Now, when I first discovered I was diabetic, I also discovered about, if you're too high or too low in your blood sugar, it impairs your vision.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've discovered, and I may be very unique because I've asked everybody that I know is a diabetic, I've had nurses and the doctors, and they sort of look at me like, this boy doesn't know what he's talking about. But all I have to do is eat a small snack, and particularly a large meal, and my vision just gets worse, and my blood sugar is well within the prescribed limits I'm supposed to be. In fact, as my doctor said last week, this is damn near perfect. Just keep up the good work. Then I said, after I eat a little thing of yogurt and some applesauce, I says, bam, I'm blurred real fast. And I says, you know anything about that? And she says, well, did you check your sugar? And I said, well, yeah, it was 107. She said,
oh, my.
I don't know what the heck's going on.
No.
If it were 480, I might say
yes.
something, or
yes.
maybe 62 or something like that. And I've just sort of like trying to find people who are diabetics and ask them this question. And so far, counting you as a, you know, maybe the 23rd one.
Yes.
You know, no one has experienced that, and I was just
Not exactly that, but I do recall at one time before I had really taken control of the diabetes that, I had very blurred vision. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I soon as I cleared up the the high sugar, then that sort of went away. I know I was making some of my friends very nervous because I was driving. And I couldn't read the signs, and I got mad because they wouldn't read the signs.
Yes.
I couldn't, and it was rather stressful.
Yep.
But and I didn't realize what was happening.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until after that. So anyway, somehow that cleared up. But do you ever have your eyes checked?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you have to do that.
I've been to the optometrist. Well, I've been an ophthalmologist because I had to have that the thing checked, you know, for the back of
what. Yes.
Luckily, although I was diabetic for a long time, luckily didn't do any damage to my retina, so that's okay. And now that the sugar's under control, I guess I should be all right, you know, as long as I keep it there. And I had went to my optometrist, and he said, well, I tell you, he says, this is a little early. He says, I've seen diabetics' vision change one way or the other. You know, we're not going to do this, you know, the first month you've been diagnosed as diabetic. We'll come back later. So I'll probably go in November and get into my regular two-year cycle of having new glasses. And I mentioned to him, and about all he could say is, well, I know that your vision can be changed by 2 weeks ago by what you ate, but really I don't know what the hell's going on with you.
I would wonder,
doctor, you know. And
I would wonder if it isn't a temporary thing with you.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
And that it does go away. I mean, the blurred vision happens right at that moment of sort of all the new intake, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then how long does it take for that to
I use certain things to look at to sort of get an idea, you know, the blurriness.
Yes.
It drops a little bit, particularly when I get up in the morning is the best because I've been in bed for 6-7 hours without a snack, when usually snacks at 11.
Yes,
Minute I chomp down that first egg or eat some of that bread, and, you know, all of a sudden there it starts going. And because I've only been diagnosed since July, but I've been a diabetic since 98, unfortunately, and a doctor decided that I was a borderline diabetic.
Yes.
And as long as I kept my weight down, I should be fine. And
yes.
The doctor says, that's a bunch of BS, and I'm sorry that he thought of that way. He says, but it had something to do with battle between the American Dietetic Association and the endocrinologist and everything else. But anyway, I just want, you know, every time I come across somebody diabetic, I always ask them that question.
I can't share that specific experience, but my advice, which is unmedical, is know that that's bound to happen and prepare for a moment or a time when you sort of then kind of have to bring yourself back down and wait until that goes away, because it sounds like it's not. It is connected to what you're doing, because you can relate that to eat or don't eat. You might also try eating less.
Yeah, okay.
You might just take maybe a snack, sort of psychologically make a much smaller snack be the whole thing so that you don't take in so much of that, but also be prepared for that to happen, and then just be quiet and let it happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to take up the time.
No, I'm all for that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our guest this morning on Focus 580 is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, stops by every month. Generally speaking, first Wednesday of the month, we talk about cooking and pick some sort of topic and tell stories and exchange recipes. And this time around, Doyle wanted to talk about quick breads, particularly because he, as we talked about at the beginning of the program, he has a sort of a master recipe.
Oh, yes.
That is easy to use, easy to adjust in size, and one of those things that if you want to make a loaf, you can do that. You want to make a little loaf, you can do that. You want to make muffins, you can do that. And you can put different things in them. So now, having said all that, why don't we talk about it?
Yes.
Tell us about this recipe.
Okay. Then I think I said to you earlier this morning my aggravation that I had sort of planned to do this, and then I was watching television last night, and Emerald did it at 11:15. So I turned it off and went to bed. I said, well, you can't get ahead. So the information is there, but not exactly like what I have. Let me tell you how this works, and I really like it. I'll Since I like the idea of only making six muffins, and I don't want to make a loaf of bread, I could make a loaf of bread, but I would do it then in mini loaves. Or sister is sending me some mini bundt cakes that are tiny, and I will do that. But I enjoy making the muffins because I can make six. I can do it quickly. It is instantaneous. So I'll give you the recipe as I would do it for six. So therefore, you can double everything, and you can make 12, or you can make one large loaf pan, or three mini loaves, or six bundt cakes. So that it's that particular amount. So in my half recipe, it's 1 1/4 cups of flour. Now, myself, I am using all whole wheat instead of the half whole wheat and half white flour or all pastry flour. I use the white whole wheat because I enjoy using it, and it gives it a little nuttier taste. I like it. So you can find white whole wheat, and it's available now. So 1 1/4 cups, I measure that. And then 1 1/2 1/4. How much is that?
3/4.
3/4. Okay, 3/4 of a teaspoon of baking powder. I use a half a teaspoon and 1/4 of a teaspoon and of baking powder, and 1/2 a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 1/4 of a teaspoon of baking soda. And then I have to watch the intake of salt, and so I just sort of give a pinch of salt instead of 1/8 of a teaspoonful. I just give a token, well, here's your salt, and that's all you're going to get. And that is all the dry stuff, and then that don't mix that up in a great big quantity and then scoop it out in the 3/4 of a cup or a cup and 1/4. Mix it specially for the batch you're making, but that's all you have. That's in one bowl, and so that's all the dry stuff in one bowl. And then you go ahead and you get the technique that I'm using is that you want to have the oven up to 400. So I put a tablespoon of butter in an oven proof dish and pop it into the oven while I'm heating the oven up. And just before it gets to be 400, and just when I need the liquid, the butter is melted. Now, you can do it in your microwave or over the stove or any way you want it. It's just that I find it amusing that it's being done while I'm doing something else. So then that is 1 tablespoon of butter. And then to that, I add 1 tablespoon of canola oil and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract and 1/4 teaspoon of almond extract. And then for sugar, I cut down the sugar a lot. The real recipe is for 2/3 of a cup of brown sugar, which if you did that in half, it would be 1/3 of a cup of brown sugar. And I even go lower than that, and I have a scant 1/4 of a cup of brown sugar because the brown sugar is much more pleasant than the white sugar. And 1 egg. So all of that is mixed into a bowl and stirred up. So you've got the melted butter, the oil, vanilla and almond extract, brown sugar, and then 1/2 cup of buttermilk. And the buttermilk, you see, is what is reacting to the soda and is going to puff that up just a little bit. And I'm anxious about the use of baking powder. I haven't really cut that down very much because it does have a lot of sodium in it. You have to watch that. But it seems to be not too out of control. Then that's the next basic part of the recipe. Then you can get creative. And when you get creative, you want 2 cups of whatever it is you're going to use. If it's going to be blueberries, 2 cups of blueberries. I mean, I'm sorry, 1 cup. 2 cups is the whole recipe. 1 cup of blueberries, or 1 cup of chopped pear, or 1 cup of chopped apples. I'm also going to try a recipe with the dry condensed mincemeat. and chopped apricots. Chopped apricots and dried mincemeat, a cup of that mixture in there. And then I love nuts, and I'm kind of crazy with the nuts because and sister agrees with me. I said, don't chop the nuts up. Keep them whole and big and get them in there. She says, that makes it really crunchy and tasty. I said, I like that. So I have walnuts up. I keep the walnuts in the freezer. Just grab a half a cup of walnuts. And then, of course, that's not enough for me. So I add a little bit more. And then that's all mixed up. You mix the batter. You pour the wet batter, wet mixture into the dry mixture and stir it up quickly until it's sort of pretty much mixed, and then put the lumps of stuff in it, and then fold those because you don't want to mash the berries or you don't want to break the walnuts, so you don't whip it and beat it. You fold that in, and it's really a sticky mess, a big, thick, heavy, gloppy, sticky mess. And Emerald said last night, well, this looks a little bit thick, but it's not. That's exactly what I said to myself when I made it the first time. This is a little bit thick. Shouldn't it be thinner than this? And no, it should not. And so you put it into the muffin pan, and I use a spray around it, but you could use cups, paper cups. And it bakes for exactly 22 minutes. In my oven, it's a little bit hotter, so I make it only 20 minutes. And they get just a little brown on the top, and I like it. And they pop right out. And I don't like to eat them when they're hot. They were nice enough when they're sort of room temperature, and they're really good the second day, and they're outstanding the third day because it comes a little bit tighter. They don't dry out; they sort of firm up, and you end up then with what you kind of expect of a little loaf of bread. And so they would be wonderful for tea in the afternoon about the third day. I would say they'd probably be gone by that time, but anyway. And then what are some of the other things you can do? I use cranberry. I like to use I could use whole cranberries, but I do love the dried ones very much. So I make dried cranberries and walnuts, and I did blueberries and almond slices. And there's one that I haven't done, but I will, and that's pineapple. That is pineapple that you chop up. It's diced, but you can dice it a little bit more. And pecans, but the pecans want to be broken up. I'll probably put the pecans in whole. And pears and hazelnuts and banana nut chocolate chip. So bananas, nuts, and little tiny baby chocolate chips. So that's that bit where you put in a cup of whatever fruit and a half a cup of nuts to that basic recipe, and that is it.
Oh, okay. So I get so your fruit choice, that's whatever that is, that's a cup.
A cup.
And then for your nuts.
About a half a cup, but I add a little bit more.
Cup.
Half a cup plus, just for fun.
Okay.
And that does it.
Well, that sounds really good, and I really, as I said, I like the idea that this is something that you could make it just six.
And not only that, but if you don't have to be too super organized. Oh, keep the whole wheat in the freezer. It works better if you keep it at least in the refrigerator. Doesn't have to be in the freezer, but in the refrigerator at least. And if in case you are infested with moths, which do come in wheat. Sorry, they get in there. They either come in it. It's never been decided whether they come in it or whether they get into it. But you can have a sealed package of wheat, and there will be those little bugs in it. Strain them out. Don't worry about them. Just put them in a sieve, shake the sieve, and strain them out, and don't worry about it. You're going to get rid of the flour fast enough, but it'll help if you put them in either the freezer or the icebox. They won't get into it there.
All right. Well, that sounds very good. And for the flour, it has a 1 1/4 cup flour, but that could be whatever flour you want.
It could be pastry flour or whole wheat. And then with that, you add another cup of all-purpose flour. But in this case, I put all the flour together, which total is 2.5 cups. And so that's why it's 1 1/4 cup of flour.
I'm confused now. I thought there was only 1 1/4 cup flour altogether.
That's the half recipe.
Oh, okay.
That's half
okay.
recipe.
Okay, so we're still talking about six.
Yes.
Six muffins,
yes.
1 1/4 cup flour.
Yes, okay. That'll do it.
Okay. Very good.
And in this town, you get King Arthur has the whole white wheat. And it is now, I found it at Euromart, and I found it at Myers. I haven't found it anyplace else, but I think it's sneaking in.
Yeah.
And it's a Kansas wheat product. Don't forget that.
Okay. Well, I'm sold on King Arthur flour. I think it's a good product myself. All right. Well, that's very good. Well, for your fruit, you could use either, say, if you're doing blueberries, you could use either fresh blueberries or dried.
Or dried, maybe even canned. I think they'd mash up a little bit too much. But yeah. But then also raspberries or chopped strawberries, or a combination of all of those, and it seems to be so casual. But you work and measure and say, well, oh, put some of this in, put some of that in. I'm anxious to try the mincemeat, and I'll make that for Thanksgiving. And these are really good things to make for gifts, and I'm even thinking that I could probably be convinced to eat them warm, because they don't take very long to make. They only take 20 minutes in the oven. And this other mixing, if you are methodical and careful, you can do it right away. Like I say, I like to let the butter melt while I'm heating the oven, and everything else goes together. It is very, 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 very fast to put together. So even if somebody dropped over and you said, excuse me for 5 minutes, and you go in and mix it up and pop it in the oven, then in 20 minutes it's ready to eat. You could have somebody could drop over and you could make a fresh batch after they've come.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to have everything. Buttermilk is probably the hardest thing that you'd have.
That's what I'm thinking. That maybe of all these things, that might be the one thing that you – I would think a lot of these other things, you would have it. But buttermilk, you'd have to make deliberate effort to go out and buy the buttermilk.
You do, and it used to be we could get half pints of buttermilk, because you only need, in this case, a half cup.
Yeah.
And I have buttermilk, and of course I drink it on the side sometimes, but I don't have it all the time. And some places don't have more than 2 quarts in there. It's not a big sale item. And one place only had a half a gallon. Well, I don't have half a gallon when I need a half a cup. So I kind of watch it. But I take it back. If you don't have buttermilk, take a half a cup of milk and put in a teaspoon of lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll make a clabbered milk, and that'll sour it up just right. Mother would use vinegar sometimes, but lemon juice works quite well and makes a very quick soured milk. So you could make – so that's what you do in case you don't – or you supply yourself with the dry buttermilk mix. There is a dry buttermilk powder, and you put that buttermilk powder into real milk, and it becomes buttermilk. I forgot about doing those two things. I have both of them, but I wanted buttermilk because you put soda in this, and the soda and the buttermilk go together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they foam and they do what they're supposed to do.
So that's just that's one of the things that I was thinking was what's the really – what is it that happens in these recipes, in the quick breads? What are you doing that gives you some rise?
Baking powder, a little bit of baking powder, in the six, it's only a half a teaspoon of soda and a half a cup of milk. But buttermilk and soda go together. That's why when you're making soda biscuits, you use buttermilk. If you're making regular biscuits, you use baking powder.
So it's like the old thing where for grins you used to mix up baking soda and vinegar.
Yes,
it's an acid and a base
yes.
that react together,
yes.
and you get that sort of
foam.
Foaming
that's exactly
thing,
what
and
happened.
That's what you get there.
And you've got gas, and then that raises.
That gives you some
raising. That's it.
Raising. Okay. Now I'm trying to think of when I make cornbread, though, it has baking powder in it.
Yes, it does.
But there's no, well, there's milk in it.
Yes, but there's no sour milk.
Yeah.
There's no acid milk.
Yeah, what I'm thinking, I don't think that there's any acid in it of any kind.
No, there isn't. So that's why you don't use soda.
Oh, I said, so that's what baking powder is.
Well, baking powder has other things in it as well, and maybe a tiny bit of something. But baking powder doesn't act the same way that soda does. And soda wants an acid next to it.
And then, so that's when you get that.
Yeah. So whenever you use soda, you want to make sure you're using buttermilk.
That's Chemistry 101 for today, kids.
Listen, you know what? That's 90%. That's 90% of it is get the combination right so it does what it does. And when it does it, then you got it.
And that's why that's one of the things about baking is you've got to measure things. You've got to be precise.
Yes.
You've got to do it like it says.
Yeah.
Other kinds of cooking, you can kind of be more casual. Baking doesn't work that way.
No, except biscuits.
Well, see, now I was thinking about biscuits and scones.
Yes.
And my lack of success of ever making a scone that I was really
happy with. You the scone recipe?
Yeah, maybe you did.
We've done that. I'll get it to you anyway.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Made with whole white wheat, I might add.
You're getting something under the table from the
no,
whole
I
white
wish
wheat
I
people.
Would. I know I'm the biggest advocate. All converts are the worst.
Well,
I didn't.
I'm sure it's a fine product.
Didn't I bring you some?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It is a good product. And I'll tell you, I'm sold on King Arthur. We have about 15 minutes left here in Champaign-Urbana.
Goodness.
You want to give us a call? 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. Good anywhere you can hear us. 800-222-9455. It's our monthly show on cooking. We do it the first Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock hour, with this man we'd like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Been stopping by here for a long, long time, and we always have a good time. Yeah, I know. We don't want to talk about how long.
Sorry I wasn't here last time. I was in the law court.
I was
on the right side of the bench, though.
I know. You were on jury duty.
I was jury duty.
We were – that was when we were having the hearings. We were airing the hearings for Judge Justice Roberts. So we weren't – we were preempted anyway, so that sort of worked out okay. So, yeah, we haven't seen you in a while. Well, holy cow, now the lines are all
Well, we got people to talk to. Let's talk to them.
All right, let's go to line number one. This is someone in Champaign. Hello.
Yes. I'm an advocate for buttermilk. Why don't you have buttermilk all the time?
Well,
my recipe uses buttermilk, and I have a wonderful oatmeal pancake recipe that uses buttermilk.
Oh, yes. Well, I can't answer why I don't, except I just don't, and I make an issue of getting it. But then, day before yesterday, I said, boy, you've enjoyed this so much. Go get some more fresh buttermilk. I may change my mind. I don't know. I like drinking buttermilk. I was taught by my father to drink buttermilk. I'll bet you don't put pepper in your buttermilk when you drink it, though, do you?
Well, I don't actually just drink it.
Oh.
It's just that I feel like it's the magic ingredient in all kinds of things.
Well, it is, but drink it, and when you drink it, sprinkle pepper, black pepper on top, and drink. Oh, is that so good?
I'll try that.
I got into trouble once at a restaurant because the waitress thought that I had flicked cigarette ashes into my cup, and I let her have it. But anyway, that's the way my daddy taught me to drink buttermilk.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Let's go here to line, I think, number two. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. I just tuned in, so I haven't been following the recipes, but when Doyle mentioned buttermilk, I just went to my Fanny Farmer cookbook to reassure myself what the proportions were.
Yes.
If you don't keep buttermilk, you can sour fresh milk with either a tablespoon of vinegar or a tablespoon of lemon juice to one cup.
One cup, yes.
And the other thing is I often don't keep fresh milk, so I keep powdered milk. So
yes.
You can reconstitute the milk and put in your tablespoon of souring agent.
Yes.
So that works very well. Because I find that sometimes when I have a half gallon of buttermilk, it'll get moldy because I don't use it fast.
Because you don't use it fast enough. We just aren't used to using it, I know. That's it. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
But just one more thing. This is some quick breads. But my mother was Swiss, and a big treat for us in the summer was crushed berries of any sort with sugar and then served with buttermilk.
There are a lot of things like that, and sometimes yogurt is used, and sometimes what do I want to say, moist vegetables like cucumbers and such with that. That's very big in the Middle East. A buttermilk or yogurt and vegetables, and yes, that would be good with fruits. That'd be
okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
That's buttermilk and crushed fruit. That's a good thought.
Line number three, and this caller is in Savoy. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Boy, I didn't hear it. You still there?
Yes.
Okay. I make a lot of breads, and I just became diabetic. Well, at least I was told I was diabetic in November.
Yes.
And so I've been experimenting with the Splenda.
Yes.
And but I haven't done it on this. I wanted to give you this one because it's kind of different. It's apricot nut bread.
Oh.
And you soak apricots, one cup of dice. That's real fun. I'm glad I got kitchen scissors.
Yes. Oh, that is the way to do apricots.
Warm
yes.
Water for about 15 minutes and then drain and cut up. I've already cut up before then.
Yes.
Sift, you have 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of soda, and it says a cup of sugar here, and I probably do half and half
uh-huh.
and sugar, and then 1/4 cup of water, 1/2 cup of chopped nuts, 2 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of salt, and I'm one of these scant salt users.
Yes.
If there's something else in there that I've used, like I'll use light oleo or oleo that I can bake with.
Yes.
And then I won't put very little because the salt is in the shortening.
Yes.
Then an egg and 1/2 cup of orange juice.
Orange juice, yes.
Yeah. How about that?
Well, that is a very good taste. Now, let me tell you about orange juice real quick.
Okay.
You squeeze an orange and you don't get very tasty juice. So I use orange concentrate and I don't thin it down. Oh, I might thin it down a little tiny bit, but I've been using orange concentrate to substitute for orange juice. And it's much stronger and it has a better taste. So, you know, a couple of tablespoons of orange concentrate that you go ahead and make orange juice out of. But,
okay.
I find that more pleasant. And then if you're going to use that orange taste, then also put in some orange zest. And
I thought I had that on this one, but evidently I don't. But I have it on my cranberry bread recipe.
Yes.
Orange zest.
Orange zest, yes.
The only thing I think about the orange juice would be that it would be concentrated, even though you're using a little bit less. So that's why I would rather just use the orange juice in the carton.
Oh, in the carton. No, yeah. In the carton would taste all right. Yeah, because that's
I usually like the full pulp, you know.
Yes.
And then when I pour it out, I've got a nice texture for my breads as well as for my mouth.
Well, my problem, like the fellow who didn't want to have the wheat around him available, is that I can't have orange juice around me.
I just threw out a whole gallon. Half a gallon that I bought because I was worried about how much sugar was in it.
There is a lot of sugar in orange juice, a lot of sugar. And my doctor said, please, just eat the whole orange and shut
mm-hmm,
up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that. But when I want to have orange juice to cook with, I use it concentrated and I close my eyes. I do.
Did you get some banana breads earlier? I've been up.
No, there. I didn't.
Well, I have a banana bread that I altered for myself.
All right.
And that's 1 3/4 cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and I usually 1/4 teaspoon of soda. Here I've cut it down.
Yes.
Instead of using 1/3 cup of Crisco, I've cut it down to 1/4.
Good.
And the sugar, I'll put 1/3.
1/3, yes.
And then I have 2 eggs and a cup of mashed bananas, which
two eggs,
in the blender.
Yes.
Yeah, and I usually will use 3.
And 3 bananas.
Uh-huh. It doesn't matter what they are. They've got to be over a cup. But,
yes.
The more is better. Like that. But both these recipes take a an hour to cook, so you're not going to cook them right now.
Oh, they cook an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in a loaf also, aren't they?
Yes.
A loaf takes longer.
Yeah, a loaf
takes longer. My cupcakes are only 22 minutes.
Yeah, I had a friend that did banana cupcakes like that, and it was kind of nice for a party.
Yes.
No, we didn't have crumbs all over the place.
I enjoy
you every year, every month. And I used to listen to you when I was working. And then I caught, even though I get patterns, I forget to read that. But this time I did.
Oh, well, good. Okay,
so
thank you very much.
Looking for you in November and December both, huh?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Let's see. Where are we going next? Grundy County, I believe, would be line number 4, our toll-free line right here. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm on the combine, so I'm hoping you can hear me.
Sure can.
You're just fine.
And I'm hoping that your recipe will be on the Internet later, since I don't have pen and pencil with me.
Yes, they will.
And my contribution is I have discovered that with quick breads, I can put them in the muffin tins, in the papers, and put them in a plastic bag and stick the whole thing in the freezer.
Yes.
Unbaked.
Oh, unbaked.
Unbaked. And then I pull out 6 or what, however many I want to bake at a time. And that way, especially if I have bananas that are going bad,
yes,
I can make them up.
Yes.
And I may not bake any of them right now.
Yes.
And I have yet to have them not just rise and be just as nice as if you had just put them together.
Now, do you let them thaw first?
No.
They go right into the oven.
Yes.
Good.
They take maybe an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Yes.
But I don't let them thaw. I put them in, and I can do it with a cake because there are only 2 of us at home.
Yes.
And so we can't get through a whole cake, so I'll maybe put it in 2 pans. Stick one in the freezer and only bake an 8x8 instead of a 9x13.
I think you have had some home extension help, haven't you?
Well, actually, I read that in a novel.
I love it. I love it. Well, that is smart thinking. I praise you for that. I love it.
And you can just pull them out, and that way you've got them made, and you can entertain your friends.
Yes, and that's it. Oh, I'm going to pass that on to Sister.
It works fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Thank you.
See, I wouldn't have thought about you. So you mix it all up.
Mix it all up.
Put it in the cups.
Freeze it.
And then you want 1, 2, 3. Pull them out, you put them in the oven.
That is exactly it.
You got your muffins.
That I've not seen in any recipe. That's why I say that sounds like a home extension agent's. Now, my sister's daughter is a home extension agent in the southwest corner of Kansas. I'm going to send
that one to her. Call her.
I'm going to call her and say, listen, what I learned on my program today.
All right.
Oh, I think that's great. I'm going to do it right away.
He's very excited, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm very excited. Besides that, I got a new freezer.
Well, you might as well put something in it. We have a couple people here. We'll try to get them in.
Oh, good.
And we will, if people want to write to us, we'll try and get some of these recipes printed up as soon as we can. Please be patient. And we'll see if we can get at least Doyle's recipe, the one that we gave there. At least that one we can get.
Yeah.
Maybe see if we can get that on the website. It's just a matter of somebody having to take the time
to do it.
But it seems like that shouldn't be too long to do at least. Maybe we could just do that one. We'll see what we can do. And we'll go to the phones here again. Urbana, line 1. Hello.
Darlin' David.
Hey.
That's it.
You spoke about scones, and evidently both of you know how to make it. How about letting us in on it?
Well,
the basic stuff.
Yes, I'd have to have my recipe in front of me right now, but don't we have that? Didn't we? I know we did scones. I'll bet it is on one of the programs that was within the last year.
So is it on the internet?
I think so.
Yeah, certainly our show should be on the web.
The show
archives
on the web archives,
and
do I go to your show and then put in scones?
Well, I don't know if it works that way. I think you have to kind of look through each of the and see what was being. I do remember that it was scones that was the recipes about. So, and if not, I will make sure that I have them next time, or Or we have them here. I'm sure we have them here.
Well, somewhere. I have two left from Zabar's that I brought back from New York.
Imported from New York.
No, no, no. I bought it there and brought it back a couple of days ago. But they'll be gone soon.
Well, I'll have to go home and find Frances's, my sister's, scone recipe, because I use her whole wheat scone recipe, and I have that. I'll see that you get it somehow.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, thank you. And see that my, well, we're almost to the point where we're going to have to finish here, I guess. Maybe I better say that. My problem with the scones is it seems like, I don't know what I'm going for, except I'm not happy with what I have done.
It's almost as simple as this.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
It's almost as simple as
this. That it's not all that much different.
No, it's not different. And the consistency is very much the same. And I also put in big nuts and dried cranberries in that. And I pick it up with my fingers and drop them onto the plate, onto the pan.
Well, we'll have to talk some more about this.
All right.
If you want to drop us a line, WILL. Campbell Hall, 300 North Goodwin in Urbana, 61801. We'll try and get you some recipes, or you can send us an email with your name and address, or as soon as we can, we'll see what we can get for you on the website. So that obviously would be the easiest thing for people who have internet access. Go to the website and get the recipe. Thank you very much.
Yay, hooray.
Next time would be November, first Wednesday in November. Will we see you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Well, wait for divine inspiration.
Well,
that's
it'll
why
come.
We do these shows.
It'll come.
Duane Moore, he's the man we like to call our chef in residence once a month, first Wednesday, 10 o'clock, we talk about cooking. Glad to have you here. Very much.
Well, now I will go feed the rest of the flock.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And he was nice. See, what a guy. He comes to do the show, and he brings muffins. So we'll hand them out. We'll make some other folks on our staff here happy. Our show here, Focus 580, made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, The Buzz Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, and Any Frequency Music Store, all housed in West Washington Street. All located on West Washington Street in Monticello. Programming also made possible by a grant from Strawberry Fields in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields Catering Department now offers box lunches for professional meetings or casual lunchtime gatherings. Strawberry Fields, 328-1655. And the show is made possible with support from Owen's Funeral Home at the corner of Elm and University in Champaign. Locally owned and operated and serving families since 1925. Owen's Funeral Home invites you to join them in supporting public radio. We're going to take a break, as we do usually. We'll come back with more Focus after news, an update on the market, so stay tuned.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the markets. Grain contracts trading both sides of unchanged and light volume today. We've seen some non-commercial buying supporting soybeans, especially some spillover buying from the soybean oil pit. Commercial selling continues to pressure wheat, while traders remain primarily disinterested in corn.